Hello, K-Crush, and welcome to Candid Conversations on K-Crush. And I'm here with Yahoo Finance reporter and poet Dara Singh to discuss her new book, Tell Her She's Lovely. All right, Dara, can you tell me what you're watching or listening to during this pandemic?
Yeah, you know, I've been really attached to watching Unsolved Mysteries. I think that's the name of the show. It's on Netflix. I believe it's a second version of the show. There was an older version that aired a long time ago, but I just love putting my thinking caps on, sitting back, and just kind of wondering, like, why aren't so many cases solved? And it's just a hobby of mine.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I actually used to watch Unsolved Mysteries when I was little. I think this will probably be like the third time. There was the original host and there was another one, and I guess they brought another one for Netflix. All right, so can you give me a little bit of background on what led you to write Tell Me She's Lovely?
Yeah, Tell Her She's Lovely. So, you know, I was commuting 4 hours in a given day all the way from Central Jersey to Brooklyn, and during that time I was debating so many different things. One, I was already exhausted, but then I was debating, should I do a career change from banking to journalism? Should I let go of certain friendships, other relationships in my life? Should I should I seek someone's permission to kind of make these changes in my life? And I just felt that as a young woman, it was just a rocky road that I was going through, and I needed an outlet to express myself. And throughout all my life, whenever any issue happened, it would be poetry. I mean, it would be writing for me, more specifically writing, that would help really cushion all these feelings, help cushion all these racing thoughts I had, and into a beautiful fashion. And so poetry for me, in a way, was same thing. I never wrote poetry before, let's say 2017, maybe once, but just by mistake. One day on this train ride, I wrote the poem, Tell Her She's Lovely. And from there, it just kind of opened doors.
All right, can you tell me who Tell Me She's Lovely is for and what the reader will gain by reading your poetry?
Sure. And just to clarify, it is Tell Her She's Lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had a little slip there.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tell Her She's Lovely. It's a transformative collection of poems, right? Three sections, from conflict, and then it goes into confrontation when you're facing your problems, you're facing your inner demons, to peace, where you're not 100%, let's say, a perfect person, but you're just like, I'm having peace with who I am as a person. I'm really honoring that as a South Asian poet, really honoring my own uniqueness, really honoring my ability to do this career change. And so I'm really hoping here, through these transformative poems that, to be honest, can quite frankly reach you at a deep level, I want to inspire other women of color, or just really anyone who likes poetry, but more focus on women of color. As a South Asian woman, just empowering them to know that they can too take transformative leaps in their career and in their life.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about your culture and how that played a role in what you were feeling, you know, while you were making your transformation and, you know, and as you were writing your poetry and you know, how or if the two connect?
Yeah, so fortunately, I did grow up in a slightly more open-minded environment, but in the back of my mind, it was at least the words that I was telling myself was, hey, if I want to make this leap from banking to journalism, I definitely need to get, like, I need to get my parents' approval, you know? And in a South Asian culture, to say, it's very, you know, like your STEM fields, your math, your science, all this is very honored in a way. And I was just like, wow, no one's ever done this creative field before, right? One, I had no role model. So on top of that, I was seeking validation. And in a South Asian household, you just feel like you need your family's permission for that. And I remember there were some doubts in the beginning, right? There were some doubts, like, when you want to make this career transition, are you going to make money? So it just seeking for that external validation, seeking for that family permission was very incorporated into these poems.
Yeah, I was thinking about a lot of that the other day. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about a story that they heard of someone, a young lady, and I think she made a career change similar to yourself. I can't remember what it was, but the one thing that she noticed that unfortunately happened to her was, and a part of what was holding her back was that she felt that she would lose her parents' love. And then she did say when she did do it that she felt like her parents lost a certain glow that they had with her. Was that something that was an interfere of yourself that you felt?
To that extreme, I wouldn't say so. I just in the innermost part of myself, I knew that would be tough. I think what I was worried more about was, am I gonna be able to make enough money mm-hmm. to kind of pursue all these things related to the American dream, right? Since mm-hmm. my family is, like, you know, they did come from different countries, so it's like, if I do a journalism job, am I gonna have enough to buy a house? If I'm gonna, it was a lot about the money aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And just, what are people gonna think? Are they gonna think that because I made this leap, that I'm not smart, that I'm, you know.
Right. Yeah, and I definitely get that. Have you heard any stories from anyone else in a certain situation where they've experienced something similar to your journey?
To be quite frank with you, that's what made this journey so interesting and a little scary, was that I knew no one who had done anything like this before. I knew absolutely no one who switched from banking into journalism or anything else in my family to a more creative and riskier type of role. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, media is changing, and going to this field that, you know, you hear layoffs and everything like that, it was just like, whoa, am I making the right decision? So mm-hmm. a lot of that uncertainty, seeking external validation, is all captured in Tell Her She's Lovely.
Oh, nice. So can you tell me how you made your, can you tell me about how your transformation was? Like, you did go off to journalism school at Columbia, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
Yeah, can you tell me how that was? And
yeah, it was not easy, because in 2000, and, you know, I graduated college 2016, 2017, I'm still working at JP after a year. It's not until that July of 2017 that I want to take that leap of faith. And I remember looking at the Columbia Journalism website, and they were just like, you need clips, you need recommendation letters, you need all this. And I was like, hey, I don't have any of that. What am I going to do? But fortunately, I was always writing, right? During those four-hour commutes, if I wasn't writing a poem that would be part of Tell Her She's Lovely, I would be writing an article for Brown Girl magazine or for Flirt, this magazine that actually doesn't exist anymore. But just, I was naturally already writing, and I totally forgot that I could just use that for my application. Mm-hmm. So during those few months after July 2017, I took off from work. I left the banking job. I was a few months, didn't have a job, but through that, I would put my portfolio of writing together. I'd chase teachers for recommendation letters. I'd go to these schools, visit these schools, and ask students, hey, like, what are you doing? How'd you get here? Do you think you made the right choice? And everyone seemed very content. Everyone seemed happy in their own skin, just owning it. And, you know, it led to my decision. And I never thought I'd get into this school. In a way, I think it's an act of manifestation in itself, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is such an inspiring story because it's like getting into Columbia itself is such a major accomplishment, and then, you know, major change, and it works. You know, you're working for Yahoo Finance, and you know, and that's it for me.
It's, for me, it was mind-blowing when I got it. I'm telling you, it's a really weird story because while I was writing these poems on the train rides, even with that, sometimes I'd find myself doodling my name and the school underneath my name. I would script. I'd be like, oh, you know, Dar Singh, Columbia University, class of whatever. I would just think because it was a school I always wanted to go to. And I was just like, how would it feel for that to happen? And I never thought I thought it was like the far stretch, but you know, I truly think when you really want something and when you step into the authentic version of yourself, you almost always get what you want if it's meant for you.
Yeah. So what, can you remember the exact moment when you were like, I am absolutely doing this, I'm going all in, and what you were thinking, what you were feeling, and like what would you say was the biggest driving force for you to make that decision?
You know, with all due respect, when I was sitting at my job in the bank, and everyone was very nice to me, so don't want to, like, you know, definitely throw any harsh words at anyone. Everyone was really nice, but I just looked around one day, that one day, July, I think it was second week of July in 2017, I looked at everyone around me and I was like, can I see myself doing this for 5 more years, couple more years? And the answer was I couldn't see myself doing it for another month, quite frankly, just because I had already evolved into, my vision was calling me at that point. It was just one day where I just couldn't take not honoring my authentic self anymore. And so I got up and I gave my 2 weeks.
Yes, no, that's but I hope that what people take from you is, you know, to take the risk. And I mean, because I do think, like you said, if it's meant to be and you know you're meant to do it, I do feel that if you put in the work and you do the homework and you have the skill, then you can accomplish what you set out to reach.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination, right? It's a combination of, like, there's this quote out there. I don't know who's by, but it's like when preparation meets opportunity, right? It's like, in a way, my preparation was kind of just writing this poetry, getting to a writer's mindset, tell her she's lovely, and then in a way writing random articles on the internet. So in a way, I was preparing myself without even really knowing it. And then the moment came where I'm like, oh, I need more time. I just want to focus. And then the school opportunity came and just everything aligned.
All right. So can you tell me a little bit more about the poems that are in Tell Her She's Lovely? In particular, well, first thing I'd like to start out with is there, can you tell me about a poem in your anthology that is very, very dear to, of course, all of them are, but like what would be one of the, you know, top shelf ones that has very, very deep meaning for you?
I am happy to talk about The Phoenix. I'm just a big proponent of transformations. I truly believe someone can wake up the next day and want to be someone else, and they should have every right to reinvent themselves. And I just, transformations have always fascinated me. I'm a person who constantly transforms. And so The Phoenix, if you don't mind me just saying it out loud, it's a super easy to read, concise poem. And it just talks about how when we try to transform into our authentic selves, that's when we're gonna face the most resistance from external forces, whether that's the validation we want is not what we need, what we get, whether it seems like walls are closing in, that's really when we're about to do a breakthrough. So I would just love to say it. The phoenix sleeps in her own ashes. She doesn't remember her last rebirth. It's the world who tells her when she died. That she responds with a coy smirk. It's a folly of humans that we see to point out the past of those living. For a creature whose present is so beautiful, we always find a way to persuade her. She's eternally ill-fated. So this was The Phoenix. And the beauty of this poem, believe it or not, I posted it on Instagram for a second time. And I just noticed most of my friends and even people who I recently met, they were like, I relate to this. I love this. They would message me. They're like, I'm resonating with this. And it just talks about like, you're going to go through some type of change in your life that where you're stepping to your authentic self. And it can happen multiple times in your life. And in that time period, you're going to be faced with such resistance from the outside world. There's going to be people telling you, don't do that. Don't do that. You're not going to make money. Don't do that. This is not you. And it's like everyone around you will tell you who you are. And it's so interesting because anytime you want to better yourself, that's when people want to tell you who the old you was. So this line, we always find a way to persuade her she's eternally ill-fated. It's just that even subconsciously, when someone's trying to go on the next level, a higher level of themselves, up-leveling, that's when they're going to get a lot of criticism. And most of it might not even be constructive. So it's just a call to action for you to kind of weather that storm. Because like a phoenix, you're always evolving. And this is always going to happen to you. So might as well gather the strength and just go for what you want.
Yeah, and I think that is a very powerful message. And I'm not surprised at all that it resonates with so many people. And that is why I do think it would be perfect for a lot of people to be able to read your poetry. And, you know, because I think one thing that a lot of people are missing today is we're all hearing one side of a story, and there are a lot of such stories like yours that are not being heard. And, you know, and I think that holds a lot of people back. And I would assume that there are probably, you know, millions of people out there who, you know, who don't chase what they want, and, you know, rather it be career or, you know, relationship, you know, out of expectations that are set by someone else.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is, so I gathered a lot of my courage to take leaps of faith, because I think a little bit is just in my rebellious nature, to be honest, but I read a lot, and I think it just takes an idea or a seed to be planted in your head for it to grow. Like, an example, I read The 4-Hour Work Week recently, and that idea planted my mind that there's an ocean of freedom that we haven't even tapped into yet. And so it's like, unless a book like Tell Her She's Lovely plants a seed in someone's mind that you can embark a transformation, you can go through conflict, confrontation, peace. Some people might just be sitting at home and knowing that it's not possible. And also sometimes you just need to see an example that it's been done.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I think there's going to be a good answer here. So what led you to calling your anthology Tell Her She's Lovely?
I think because when I look back to that first poem, Tell Her She's Lovely, that was written in 2017, when I think about how that poem was written, it was just a casual day. I was on the NJ Transit going back home, doing my monotonous day-to-day. I took out my iPhone's notepad, and I was feeling a lot of emotions. I was just like, oh my God, does no one notice I have this creative side to me? Does no one notice X, Y, and Z about me? There were some selfish people in my life too. Let them go. And I was like, no one's noticing all this. But then what I did was I'm telling you, within like 10 minutes, I don't know where this poem came from. I started typing these words. Tell her she's lovely because a flower without sun will perish in a selfish sea. Tell her she's lovely, you know, and just continuing and writing more about that. And I was written in 10 minutes, and I also don't know what divinely guided me to this, but then I posted it on my Instagram, and I would never do that because I would have thought that people would make fun of me, right, for posting a quote-unquote cheesy poem. But I was taken back. Like, you know, I got a lot of likes. People were very happy. They're just like, this is beautiful. Keep writing. And I was just like, whoa, this is great. Like, I put myself out there for the first time. And it's in one poem enough, it just opened up, I would say, like another portal. So I think it only made sense that I honor the book with the poem that kind of started it all, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just so significant because I had someone ask me once, hey, did it take you like a day to write that? And I'm like, no, I wrote it in 10 minutes. And I wrote it in 10 minutes because it came from a very pure place. It was very natural to me.
So can you tell me what is next for you? Like, do you have any more goals that you want to reach? And do you plan on doing more poetry, more books, and anything else that you have in the works?
Yes. So I have two really exciting things to share. The first is I was so inspired by my own transformation and the journalism skills that I have that I've started a coaching platform. It's called Life Resume. We're currently a community on Facebook. And basically the point of Life Resume is, as a coach, I'm here to help you, guide you to unearth your true authentic purpose. So if you read the book and now you're like, hey, I want to transform now, like it's my time to shine, and you just want that strategic and emotional helping hand, you can join the Life Resume Facebook group. It's free, no admission, and what we do is we keep each other accountable with our goals for the week. We celebrate our wins. I give a lot of lessons on the subconscious mind and how you could be holding yourself back without realizing. I also bring in guests that give expert tips on mindfulness. And as I'm getting more clients, they'll be part of the community. So my next venture is just to kind of take that kinesthetic leap of faith and just kind of help people one-on-one and guide them to their to their true purpose. The central point here is that we're looking for career quizzes. We're paying people so much money just to tell us who we are, but we're looking the wrong way. We need to look inside of us and kind of dig for those clues. So my coaching platform is just really for me to guide you and show you what you've forgotten about yourself that makes you stand out. And yeah.
Can you tell everyone where they can get Tell Her She's Lovely and where they can find you?
Yes. So you can find Tell Her She's Lovely on Amazon. It's now available on Amazon. A very interesting fact was that it placed in the top 100 bestsellers list for literary diaries and journals, like a couple weeks after going live in May, ranking shift, but it was just very cool to witness that moment. So you can grab a copy of Tell Her She's Lovely on Amazon. If you want to learn more about the book or get in touch with me specifically, you can go to tellhershe'slovely.com.
All right, and I just want to clarify because I feel like I might have made a mistake. I pronounced your name correct. I just wanted to check on that, right?
Yeah, you can pronounce it Dara. You can pronounce it Dara. It's like an American version, Indian version, but it works.
Yeah, because I remember before I did look it up. And then before, you know, I watched an interview that you... you did, and then so then I was kind of wondering, and then I do know sometimes with different names, some people, you know, it's pronounced different.
If you can pronounce it Dara, it would be great.
Is it kind of with a T sound or?
It's like a DH, so it's like Dha.
Yeah, so Dha or?
Yeah, that's similar. It's like Dhara, so Dhara. Yeah,
I mean, with some work, I think I could get that one down. And I'm trying to think. I think I refer to you as a reporter, and I should have said journalist, or would that be right?
They're both the same thing. I prefer the term journalist just because it just shows more of an art to it. It's like a deeper, for me, the connotations journalist brings is like a deeper sense of calling and purpose.
All right, so thank you so much for having this great conversation with me. And I really recommend that everyone listening to this interview go in and check it out. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kwame, for having me. Really appreciate it.